So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God.
This story is from Daniel 6, and there's a new king on the throne, okay? What we'll do is we'll just go right back to all those scary things, right? So these are some of the things I was telling you about that can be scary. We'll just recap on those. So London Dungeon, Matilda, broken down at night. A lovely ferry crossing can become pretty horrible, can't it? Pretty scary. Stuck in a lift. The dark. But I should think that of all the scary things in the whole world, being put in a lion's den would probably be one of the worst things ever. Don't you think? Must be one of the most terrifying things, I reckon. Lions are so fierce and so ferocious if they're hungry. And as the story goes on in Daniel 6, we discover these lions actually were hungry. They really were hungry. And do you know what? That would have been a place of certain death, wouldn't it? And it would also have become your graveyard, your grave, because can you imagine anyone going in to recover your body? No way. That was before they had tranquilizer guns or anything like that. So that was a really scary place to be put for Daniel. Don't you reckon, Simeon? I think that would have been a scary, scary place. But what happened in the story? Those hungry lions were they were no more than tame pussycats, really, weren't they? They were completely harmless to Daniel in that moment, in the cave there, in the den. Why was that? Why was that? Did anyone pick out why were those terrifying lions so harmless? Why was it? Did you get it, Madison?
Say again.
God said, well, not the God, not God. The king said, "May God save you," or something. And an angel came and shut the lion's mouth so he couldn't harm Daniel.
Thank you. That's right. That is right. That's right. Daniel tells us himself what happened. My God sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouths. Wow. Well, let's think for a minute about who that angel was. Who that angel was. You think it was God in disguise? Well, we've been looking, haven't we, a lot in the Old Testament lately about how someone has lots of different names in the Old Testament. And that person is Jesus, God's son. You see, you'd need an angel that's very powerful to stop hungry lions, wouldn't you? And The Lord Jesus was actually the creator of those lions, and he had the power to close their mouths. You see, sometimes in the Bible it says an angel, but this was God's special angel, his sent one, the one he sends when we're in deepest need. And that's one of Jesus' names in the Old Testament, is the angel of the Lord. Not an angel, the angel. So I think we can say that God the Father sent his son Jesus, and he had the power to close the mouths of the lions easily. He could easily do it. And that meant Daniel didn't have to be afraid. That room, that den, would have been a very... Imogen? That den would have been a very smelly place and probably a very dark place. Have you ever been to the zoo? Have you ever been to a lion's enclosure? What does it smell like? Have you been there? Anyone been there? They stink, don't they? They absolutely honk. So the smell wouldn't have gone away. But part of me thinks, I wonder if Daniel would have had quite a good night in there. He had the Lord, Jesus, all to himself for a whole night. And they were able to, I wonder what they talked about. I wonder what they talked about. It says, look what Daniel's saying. With Jesus here, there's nothing to be afraid of. So he was in the most scary place, but with Jesus there, there was nothing to be afraid of. In fact, he was able to talk to him. And I've got this thought as well, that he would have stayed as long as Daniel needed him to. Because it was only the next morning that the people came, didn't they, and they rolled the stone away. But what if it had been a week? I wonder if the Lord would have stayed with him for a whole week. Probably. Now, I also wonder if, while the Lord was there, it got him to thinking a little bit about a time when he would be in a similar situation. Because did you notice some of the similarities between Daniel's experience in the lion's den and what happened at Easter? Did you notice that as we heard the reading? Let's just have a look at a few of the similarities. Did you see it said that a stone was placed over the mouth of the den? Did you notice that? And what happened at Easter when Jesus died on the cross and he was put in the tomb, wasn't it? It said a big stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb. And both were about stopping him, these people, Daniel and the Lord, getting out. Then in Daniel it tells us that the stone was sealed with the king's own signet ring so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. And we know the same thing happened at Easter. They made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone to prevent Jesus' body coming out. And then in verse 19 in Daniel 6, we discovered, didn't we, that the king ran there at first light of dawn to see if Daniel's God had saved him. And what happened? It was dawn on the first day of the week, and Mary and the other Mary went to look at the tomb of Jesus. So there's some very close similarities there, aren't there? And I wonder whether that got... It was sort of preparing Jesus in a way for a time when he would be in a scary situation. Do you think Jesus was scared when he was in the tomb, guys? When he was in the grave? Does anyone have any thoughts about that? Do you think Jesus was scared? No, why not? Why wasn't Jesus? Because he's like the Son of God, isn't he? So, yeah. Well... We lost our connection. Oh. It's all right. Do you know, I'm not sure he was scared because he wasn't there in his body, was he? Sorry, his body was there. But do you remember what he said to the thief on the cross? He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So Jesus wasn't expecting to... Thanks. So Jesus wasn't going to be scared and alone in the tomb because he had gone to paradise, hadn't he? He'd gone, this isn't actually paradise, but he'd gone to a great reception with God the Father and all those who look forward to him or love him and trust him. And they were all sort of in heaven, and Jesus was welcomed there. So he didn't need to be scared either. So what about us this morning? What about us? What about us? And the times when we're scared and afraid. Maybe we're scared in situations like this. Perhaps we're scared if we get stuck somewhere in a room or in a lift, or we're traveling somewhere, or maybe it's in the dark. We feel scared, we feel afraid. Maybe there's something else that's on your minds that you can think of. The adults might have something that scares them. Those places are scary, aren't they? Just like a lion's den would be scary. But do you know what? They're not so scary when we know that Jesus is with us in these times, in these situations. We are never far from his love or from his help. That's such good news, isn't it? Nothing to be afraid of if Jesus is there. Now, I want to just tell you about a place in the world called North Korea. And in North Korea, it is very, very hard if you're a follower of Jesus. Do you know they do some terrible things to followers of Jesus there, and they put them in prison sometimes. They put followers of Jesus in prison. And do you know what the followers of Jesus do in prison in North Korea? There are lots of stories about how they meet in the prison toilets. They meet there for fellowship and prayer and singing and Bible reading together if they've got a Bible. Because it's the place. Do you remember what we said about the lion's den? They smell. The toilets apparently are so disgusting and smell so bad that the guards don't want to come there. And in those times, in the prison toilets, the followers of Jesus have the most amazing fellowship with him. They have the most amazing time. And it's as though the Lord Jesus is with them. He's with them as they meet and have these times of prayer and singing. And the things that they would be frightened of, they're not so frightened of, because they know that Jesus is with them. So we don't need to be afraid. If the followers of Jesus in North Korea aren't afraid, even though it's a very scary situation, then nor do we need to be frightened. Now, children, I'm just going to talk to the adults just for 1 minute, okay? Because there's a time in life that adults get afraid of, particularly grown-ups get afraid of. The older and older they get more and more afraid of what's coming. And this time that's coming for them. It's not something you think about much when you're very young, but you do the older you get. And I don't know, it might be on our minds sometimes. And it's really important to know if we're an adult and we're growing up and that time seems to be coming for us, that actually the Lord Jesus will be with us at that time. He went to death so that he can be with us in our death. And he'll be waiting to receive us at that moment, that frightening moment, so that we don't need to be frightened. We don't need to be afraid, because he'll be with us. And I just want to finish with a quote before we're going to sing a couple of songs. There's a quote that I'm going to put on the screen. And if you can keep up with it, children, you can. I'll read it. But it's one I really want the adults to think about this morning for themselves. It's by a writer called C.H. Spurgeon. He says, "I turn my eye upon another lion's den. It lies in a deep valley, the valley of the shadow of death. One after another, my familiar friends descend into the grave, dragged down by these lions. And I ask them at the hour of their departure, 'Is your God, who you serve, able to deliver you from the lions?' Their face is calm and their voice is clear as each one replies, 'O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this lion's den loses all its terror. I look into another den. There is a lion in it, a grim old lion. But I do not see so much as a bone to tell the tale of its victims. All of a sudden, I look up and see myriads of immortal souls, and they all tell me, our God delivered us from the grave and rifled the tomb of its prey. By a glorious resurrection, he has brought all his ransomed people out to meet their Lord at the great day of his appearing. There they shall stand before the throne of God, for he has broken the teeth of the lion and rescued all his children from the power of the adversary. So no matter how scary the place might be, there's nothing to be afraid of if Jesus is with us.